day, the beauty of it, oh God, and the beauty of your presence. We ask you, Father, to be with us today as we come before you and worship you in thanksgiving and worshiping you in spirit and truth. And Father, I just ask that the words that are spoken today would sink into our hearts, oh God, and that we might study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And now we just commit thy word and the hearing of thy word into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be speaking. I've got like 38 pages of notes here, so please just bear with me. We're going to try to get through it though, because next week we won't have, Wednesday we won't have service, but we're going to have foot washing and communion. We'll have two services next Sunday. But for those that might have studied this already, I've had the notes up. I actually came over here about 7 something this morning, 8 o'clock, and added about another 5 pages. So just bear with me with you. Now this morning we're going to examine two vines again. And in our examination, we're going to show that the true vine are ordained to believe and therefore understand the word. But the false vine they're not ordained to believe the word, and therefore they will not understand it. I'm just going to turn down the volume a little bit on my speaker. Therefore, we see that only the true vine can know the word, and thus they will also understand the word of God. But the false vine do not know the word of God, and therefore they cannot understand the word of God. Now, before we begin our study, though, I know people quote Brother Branham saying, you don't have to understand it, you just have to believe it. And I don't dispute that as being correct, because that is what he said. But we also know that he said things contrary to that, even quoting the scripture that says the devils believe and they tremble. Therefore, I would like to go into these two words before we actually go into our study this morning on the true vine, knowing and understanding, while the false vine cannot understand the word of God. Because people can get confused, you know, if you show that the true vine has to understand, and they say, well, I believe it, I don't understand, therefore I'm not true vine. Don't get that into your heads, all right? There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And we're going to understand, believing and understanding are two different words. And they mean two different things. It's like appearing and coming, two different words, they mean two different things. It's like Brother Ram had discussed for 4 hours, the difference between the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost and what was the other word?
Experience.
Yeah, and the experience. All right, they're two different words. They mean two different things. All right, now, Webster's Dictionary defines the word believe as to have confidence or faith in the truth of, or a positive, an assertion, a story. To give credence to have confidence in the assertions of a person. So Brother Brown says it's not so important that you understand, but that you believe. He's talking about having faith. It's about having faith, having confidence, okay? That you're not getting told a bill of goods, you're getting told the truth. So belief has to do with faith, and remember, we're told you cannot even get to first base with God until you believe that He is, and that He has the power to reward that belief. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, on the other hand, we see the definition of the word understand, according to Webster's Dictionary, is to perceive the meaning of, to grasp the idea of, or to comprehend. And then that will lead to a thorough familiarity with an apprehension of the character of and the nature of and the subtleties of. In other words, to assign a meaning to interpret, and as an example, he understood her suggestion as a complaint. In other words, you're discerning. All right, and that's why he says some is given to understand, others given not to understand, because there's a discernment. He says they see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. All right, so there's a difference between having faith, which is a confidence in, and being able to rightly divide the word of truth. And I believe this is where so many fall short. You see, believing is the starting point, but you can still be deceived even though you believe. But once you understand the significance of and the implications of and the importance of the message, you cannot be deceived. Now, we all know that there must be a balance with the Word of God and also to what the prophet said, because otherwise you will find statements that seem to conflict with other statements when in actuality they don't conflict at all. There are plenty of quotes that William Brown made concerning belief, and there are also as many concerning understanding, just as the Scripture teaches both. So before we approach this subject, showing how the true vine are ordained to believe and understand the Word, let's just look at the first part, which is to believe. Now, we have shown that the word believe and understand are two different words, and therefore they mean two different things. Yet you cannot have one without the other, or rather the one believe leads to understanding. And if it does not, then you didn't have belief or faith to begin with. And there are many promises that have to do with believing, as we see in the following scripture. So we have a lot of promises for those that believe, all right, which means those that have faith. Hebrews 10:39, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Notice the believing leads to being saved. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus we shall be saved. Even Isaiah. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So, notice, he's saying, believing that you might know. Okay, so, to say, well, it's okay to believe, but you don't have to understand, there's something there that we need to look further into, okay? Because he's saying that you believe that you will know, okay? 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So unto you that believe he is precious, unto you that believe. So there are benefits to believing. Hebrews 10:39, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now years ago I preached a series, 32 sermons I think it was, or 35, showing the benefits of believing in the Son of God. And there's many, many benefits to that belief. Now, 1 Timothy 1:16 says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth with all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to the life everlasting. Now, then seeing the importance of believing as it has to do with our being saved, God then sends men to teach others that in believing they might be saved. So we add another element to believing, and that is to believe the one who is reporting or the preaching of the plan of God. Now don't fall asleep on me, because this is going to be long, but it's going to be good. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, in understanding that our believing on the Lord Jesus Christ leads to salvation, then it's expedient that God get that message out to those ordained to eternal life. Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So God sends a preacher so that they can hear, so that they can believe. All right? Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, but these, John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 17:20, neither pray for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word. See, all these scriptures showing that God sends a people, sends a ministry to help the people to believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13, because listen, how can you believe except what? I mean, it's believing the word of God. How can you believe the word of God if you never read it? Well, I believe it anyway. Well, do you really? You know? Well, I believe God. Do you really? I mean, Satan believes, he trembles. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So we preach what we believe. John 5:47, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Do you see, like Billy Paul said, if you've got the written word and the spoken word, how are you going to believe the spoken word if you don't believe what the written word is? That's exactly what he says here, right here in Scripture. But if you believe not his writings, then how shall you believe my words? All right, Acts 15:7. And when there were much disputings, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So again, he was sent out to those so they might believe. Now, there are also other promises of God that are given to them that believe, such as the power of God being effectual in the life of the believer. That's one of the benefits that we receive, Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has concluded that all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And what are those promises? Well, we have salvation, we have eternal life, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. In this end time, we have manifesting the Son of God, we have being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, we have adoption, we have all these different things, we have a change of the body, all these things. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, because according to the working of his mighty power. Notice, the greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So we're talking about the power of God changing you, giving you an endless life, all right? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, when you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, if you come to church to hear the preacher, you're lost. Like Brother Rapp said, if they come to hear me, if they come to see me, they're lost. If they come to see God, then they're going to be saved. Okay? And here's the thing. If you're coming to hear Brian Kosorek, forget it. But if you're coming to hear the Word of God, then we're coming with a purpose in mind, and that is to release, it's a seed, to release the life that's in that seed back to us. That's what we want. That's what we come to church for. Not to come because, you know, we grind from Monday through Friday, and then take off Saturday a little bit, have to do a lot of stuff around the house, then we come to church, it's another grind. No, it better not be a grind. If it's a grind, then just stay home. Because it shouldn't be a grind. You should come to have the Word of God, the life that's in the Word, released back to you so that you have the benefits of God life. All right? Hebrews 7:16, who was made after, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now then, why then, if there are these promises to them that believe, are we told that we must also understand what to believe? Why does the scripture speak so clearly, as we shall see today, that we must also understand and to know the word? Because the devil will do his best to take what belief you have and turn it against you. That's why you must know. That's why Eve, she was seduced, because she just didn't know. She believed, that God told us, we shouldn't eat of that. But she didn't understand. And therefore, the devil was able to take her lack of understanding and twist it so that she thought she was still believing and doing that thing anyway. And we know that there's, the scripture says, Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. All right. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. For this cause God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So they're thinking they're believing the truth, and it becomes a lie. A strong delusion. All right. And we know that there is a specific attitude at the end time will be such a deceptive time that if you are not grounded in the Word of God, which means more than just believing, and if you do not understand what it is you believe, your faith, it may be turned away from the truth to other things. And at the end time, the devil will do everything he can to turn your belief and faith away from God. And when that happens, God will send you a strong delusion. You know what that strong delusion is? It's your own thinking. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Well, what if you don't know? Then I guess you don't want to eat meat. Now listen, I'm not being sarcastic here. But what I'm saying is, you can say you believe, God sent us a prophet, God sent us a teacher, we believe everything, and then you turn to this kind of stuff and don't eat meat. It's because you don't know the scripture. It's because you don't know that's a delusion. It's because you can take, look, God will give you, like with Job, the things I fear the most will come upon me. If God knows that you're not taking a stand for his word, every word, He'll give you little things like he'll give you cancer. Then you say, well, the doctors say I shouldn't eat meat because if I eat meat, it feeds the cancer, so I'm not going to eat meat. And therefore, now we have a doctrine. And then we can find quotes to satisfy our not eating meat. And well, Brother Brown said, you know, they're injecting the meat with all kinds of stuff, and you know. So, you know, that's a warning from a vindicated prophet. Yeah, but you know what the vindicated prophet said? Pray over it. And it'll be sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, I'm not trying to bring up old stuff. What I'm trying to say is that's a delusion. It's right there, right before your eyes. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, notice how we've gone from all these scriptures showing about believing, and now believing and knowing. You see? Because you begin with the belief, but then it has to go into a knowledge, it has to go into an understanding, or you're just, look, when you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're a baby. But you've got to grow up to be an adopted son of God. And growing up means knowledge. When I was a child, I thought as a child I acted like a child, I spoke as a child because I thought as a child. But when I become an adult, I put away childish thinking. Now, the baby and my grandchildren, they believe in God, all right? They believe in God. They have the same belief I do. I believe in God. But they're babies. They're children. They don't know all the intricacies. They don't know enough to not be deceived. That's why as parents, it's your godly heritage to teach them not to be deceived. To teach them the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Now notice here he speaks of not only believing, but knowing. And it is this knowing that prevents the falling away. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. And from his sermon, the indictment, Brother Brown said, now, what do? They didn't know it. Today men walk ignorantly. That means they don't know. They don't know, he says. That's the truth. They think it's some kind of an ism. They don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of the revelation. They don't pray enough. They don't call upon God enough. They just lightly take it. Oh, well, I believe it's God. Sure. The devil believes the same thing. The devil believes it more than some people can claim to believe it. The devil believes it and he trembles. People just believe it and they go on, but the devil trembles knowing his judgment is coming. And the people believe it and don't pay no attention that judgment's coming. Guilty of crucifying him. Sure, I indict this generation, finding them guilty by the same word that found them guilty at the beginning. That's right. Jesus said, who can condemn me? It was the word made flesh, and today the same words made flesh. So you see, you can believe and still be found guilty of crucifying the Son of God afresh. And why is that? Because they make the word of God of no effect in their own life. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Now, from God of the Seed of Ages, and I noticed, he preached that kind of a scientific, social, educated program, Gospel to Eve, and Adam's bride believed it. And he has succeeded in filling the so-called bride of Christ, the church of the second Adam, with the same arguments. That's right. Oh, it's not for God. God is too good to do that. Why, as long as you go to church, if thou believest, the devil believes. That makes, not make believes, but he actually believes, and he's not saved. If thou believest, he tells the second bride or the second Adam bride the same as he told the first, such as, now divine healing, there is no such a thing. We can prove that there's been a case proved in this baptism in Jesus' name. Now, don't you realize that I'm the authority of the church, he says? We settled that at Nicaea, Rome, when them three unclean spirits went out of the dragon, the false prophet and so forth. We believe there is a trinity of gods. Oh, for goodness sake. That's as heathen as can be. Don't you never come before God in such a thing as that, try to stand in his presence. So it matters what you believe. And therefore, to say that you do not have to understand, you just have to believe, is okay if you're speaking to someone who's not born again. But we know that once you're born again, you will come to the knowledge of the truth. You will understand the word. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit to do what? To reveal truth, to bring you into all truth. All right? Now, from possessing the gate of the enemy, he said, now notice now the natural seed of Abraham. Let's check some of these natural seed and see if God kept his word with the natural seed, which was Isaac. Now, let's check some of the natural seed and believe the full, that believed the full promise of God and had no question. Now, remember, there were tens of thousands times multiplied thousands that was circumcised and everything else, and still was not Abraham's seed. Sure. That which is Jew outward is not Jew, but that which is Jew inward. They, many of them, they failed bitterly. They failed. Look in the wilderness. He said, "We the day of Passover at the fountain of St. John, they was all rejoicing." Jesus said, "I'm that rock that was in the wilderness. I'm the bread that come down from heaven. If any man eat thereof, they'll not die." They said, "Our father eat man in the wilderness for 40 years." He said, "And they are every one dead." Dead. Take that word and run and see what it means. Why shouldn't we? If we just believe it? Because he wants you to understand it, what it means. Death means separation, annihilation, completely destroying annihilation. Jesus said they were dead, every one of them, yet they were circumcised Jews. See, folks, just because you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, got a little confession and things like that, the devil believes just as much as we do. But if you've got to be identified with it, God's got to witness it to us by the sealing with the Holy Spirit, no question of the word. If you say, well, that was for another day, there's something wrong. Now notice that it's not enough to believe. You must be identified with the word. And the word identified means to make, to present to be, or regard or treat as the same or identical to. You must be identical with the word. Well, how can you be identical with it if you don't even understand it? Remember, he giveth the Spirit. The Bible says that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So God gives us his Holy Spirit for us to understand the word. It's okay before you're born again, it's okay to say, well, you don't have to understand, just believe. Once you believe, then something in you starts moving toward the Holy Spirit. Once you get the Holy Spirit, you can't help. God just reveals. Because there are times when your faith falters. Now, let me just go back. And the word identify means to make, represent, to be, or regard, or treat as the same, or identical to. And how are you going to represent and be identical to if you have no clue what he is? He's the word, brother. And you've got to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, because there are times when your belief falters under trials and hardships, but that is when your understanding that he is faithful, despite your lack of faith, comes in. You hear what I said? When your faith falters, the understanding comes in and says, just a minute, he said it. If he said it, I might not understand how he's going to do it, but I know it's going to be done because he promised. All right, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And he's the word. Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God, the revelation of God, without effect? And of course, we understand that this is the hour that God himself shall come down with demonstrating power, and men will disbelieve anyway, because he promised it would be that way. Acts 13:41. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. Now, concerning our knowing and understanding, we see, as Jesus tells us, that the true vine, that they will know the word. We see it in John 8:31, where he said, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, these are Jews that already believed on him. And he said, now, you know what? You're going to continue in the word to a place of understanding. And you know what? That place of understanding is going to set you free. You're going to know the truth. Know the truth, meaning to understand it. And that understanding will set you free. You see? Now, I want you to catch what, because look, there's a lot of people that say they believe. A lot of people do believe. But honestly, their belief is not mixed with an understanding, and therefore when any kind of stuff comes along, oh, that was really good. And so you're going to take what a Trinitarian says versus what a vindicated prophet said? You see, it doesn't cut it, and that's when you fall away. Now listen to their answer as we read on. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus is answering them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, now this word commit actually means to abide in sin, is a servant of sin. And that is because that is what he actually says in the next verse. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. So he's talking about abiding in sin. He that abides in sin is just caught up, he's swallowed in it. Doesn't mean that you just make a mistake. If you make a one-time mistake and you know, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, that's not unbelief. That was just stupidity. All right? So if he was just talking about a one-time sinful act, he would not be speaking of abiding in sin, which means to remain in it or to make your home in it. And that is why he speaks of setting them free from sin. Because if he were talking about a one-time act, you would not have to be set free from that one-time act. It's a one-time because you know it was wrong. You don't have to be set free from that. But to those who remain in and abide in, they need to be set free from that. And we know sin is unbelief. They sin because they believe not. Now, he goes on, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, you know, if you make something, it's a process, okay? Just, you know, he didn't say, he says it make you free. It doesn't set you free like you set a cake. And he makes you free. There's a process of being free. The process is, you know, Brother Vail taught us years ago, the baptism of the Holy Ghost said, when it's like a jar filled with rocks, and when you take a rock out, you leave more room for the water. Fill the water with, fill this glass jar, it's got rocks, but fill it up, and you say, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. No, you're not, because there's a lot of unbelief in there. But as you take each rock out, you have more room for more displacement of water, until you got all the rocks out, and then you're full of the Holy Ghost. All right? And that's the process of making us free. I didn't know this, but now I know it, and therefore I'm not going to do it anymore because I know it's displeasing to God. Okay? Now, if the Word of God has no place in them, then it is very apparent that they also do not know the Word, nor do they understand it. For had they known it and understood it, they would not have had a place, they would have had a place for the Word in their hearts, but alas, they didn't have it. And in fact, the very fact that they did not know Him allowed them to hate Him and thus kill Him. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in 1 Corinthians 2:7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So there's got to be a process where God brings that glory to us, and which is the hidden word. But he says, which none of the princes of this world knew. Notice knowledge. Now these were believers. They were Pharisees, believers, but they didn't know, had no knowledge. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. All right? And then Jesus tells them why they have no place for the Word. He said, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto him, if they were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Now in the next, Jesus gets very specific. He tells them that he and they have two different fathers. He says, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We know what you're driving at. We're not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. But Jesus lets them know that if God were their father, then their actions would be to love him. But because God is not their father, they hate him. Showing their actions are not consistent with one who calls himself a son of God. Now this is important because the same argument can be made today. Now, listen. He says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. You see, love is an anointing. And you know what? It shows who your father is. Hate is an anointing. And it shows who your father is. You are either anointed with love for God, his word, and his children, or you're anointed with hate. All right, they're two anointed. I'm going to, maybe when we get through the other things I have prepared for you on this two vines, I'm going to show that in the two vines. I'm going to show that anointing, because John said we have an anointing, and guess what? We know all things. That's what he said. Beloved, we have an anointing from God. We have we have an anointing from God that you might know all things. Okay. Now Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself. In other words, it was not even my choice to come, but he sent me. And then he lays out the words that we're examining this morning when he says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear, which means you cannot understand my word. All right, so now we see a beginning here. We see that Jesus is saying there's one group that will understand, there's another group that won't understand. Now, Brother Branham has taught us on more than one occasion that to hear means to understand. As we hear in hearing, recognizing, and acting upon. And notice this title. Hearing, then recognizing what you hear. That means understanding, perceiving, you know, perception, and then acting upon. But the church spiritual, able by revelation, by grace, he seeing beyond that, and by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and testified of his righteousness. God, the same thing took place with Ishmael and Isaac. One was of the flesh, the other and the other one of the spirit. One by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. It happened the same thing in Israel and Moab. Two great churches come together, and when Israel was wanting to go to their promised place, church spiritual, Jacob's place, people, Israel on the road, Esau's people met them, Moab, church powerful, and the great leaders of the church, Balaam, came down to curse his brother, but he found that he could not curse his brother. He failed with the blindness of his eyes to see the predestinated plan and to see the Word of God. And first, faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. Then the believer hears it and recognizes it and acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never see, hear means to understand. Now look at. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. So Brother Branham is letting us know that, look, there's an understanding. And if the understanding isn't there, it's because it's not revealed to you. All right? And remember, we went into revelation or delusion last week and showed revelation is a manifestation of divine truth. In other words, when you see it, it's revealed. Not when you think it, it's revealed. When you see the manifestation of the Word, that's the interpretation that God puts on His Word. All right? Now, Jesus said, these men that he spoke of in John, he spoke of too in John 8:42, they cannot hear, therefore they cannot understand his word. Now, notice verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear, even because you cannot understand my word. Then he tells them who their father really is. He said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. Now, why must they do the same as their father? Because the law of life, Genesis 1:11, says every seed must bring forth after its kind. All right? Then Jesus tells us the attributes and characteristics that describe their father, and he says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks of the lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of unbelief, of sin? See, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth, understandeth God's word. Ye therefore hear or understand them not, because you're not of God. So there's no getting away from it, brother, sister. There's both a believing and an understanding, but you got to have them both. Now, you can begin, believing. And that's the first step, is to believe. But then after that believing, you've got to come to a place of growing up. You've got to come to a place of understanding. Now, William Brown nailed down this point in his sermon, Abraham, where he said, listen, first you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God. If you're not, you'll never understand the Word of God. So when a little girl comes up to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham says, did you understand everything I said this morning? Well, no, Brother Branham, I didn't. He said, well, that's okay. You just have to believe. He's talking to a little girl that wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? And people want to pick up on that and say, well, so that's apply for everyone. Now, he didn't say it to everyone. He said it to this little girl. All right? I know the girl. And I know that now she is filled with the Holy Ghost. Now she does have understanding. But anyway, listen, you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God. If you're not, you'll never understand the Word of God. God has said so. God said, I have hid the Bible from the wise and prudent, and will reveal it to they such as will learn. Now, if you want to get anything from God, just be a baby, open up the Bible, fall in love with Jesus. See, believe first, and let God then start drawing in the net. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, notice, he calls it the hidden wisdom, but he also says God has ordained it for our glory. So it is hidden and remains hidden to the world, but to those who are born of the Spirit of God, it does not remain hidden. And in fact, he says that your actions will prove whether the word is still hidden from you or not, which none of the princes of this world knew, he says. They didn't know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who crucified him? The Pharisees. They were believers, but they didn't know. See, their knowledge was so caught up into their creeds and dogma that it became a delusion to them. So whether you crucify to yourself the Son of God afresh, as we see in Hebrews 6, or not, will depend on whether you know His Word or not. Hebrews 6 and 4, for it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened and have tasted of heavenly gift and were made partakers, that means companions of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the coming age, having fallen away, it's impossible for them to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now, these are not those who know the truth. These are those who have heard it, but because they did not understand it, they fall away. Right, John? From questions and answers, Brother Bram said, would you please explain Hebrews 6:4 and also Hebrews 10:26-39? Please explain whether this refers to the Holy Ghost people or the sanctified people. Please explain the difference. Well, let's see where the person is referring to. Hebrews 6 and 4, I love Bible questions, that just, it pulls out something in you that you get something that you wouldn't get otherwise. Because you got what the people thinking, what's on their heart, see? And you know what they're doing. Now, here's Hebrews 10, and here's Hebrews 6.
All right.
6 and 4, all right? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the Word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now, that's one. Now, Hebrews 10:26, all right? Hebrews 10 and 26. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment, the fire of indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trod underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and unholy thing, and done despite to the works of grace. Now, they are both about the same thing. That's what Brother Brown says. Hebrews 6 and 4 and Hebrews 10:26. Now, I would like to explain this to the person. Now, if you notice here in Hebrews 6 and 4, it said it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. That's associated with this other scripture that we just read. If you have been enlightened and then turn away from your enlightenment, it is impossible for that person to ever regain his place again. You see? Now, Hebrews only tells the punishment that follows this rejection. It's one of the horriblest things in the world is to reject Christ, is to reject the light of the Scripture. Now you notice, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and has been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, if they turn away to renew themselves again unto repentance. See, here we are. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted. Now watch, tasted the heavenly gift. They've been right on the edge of it. Tasted the heavenly gift. Now, you notice they never had come to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, they was enlightened to it and tasted the heavenly gift. See, but were made partakers of the Holy Ghost by tasting of it and have tasted of the good word of God, part of it. See, and the powers of the world to come if they shall fall away to renew themselves. Well, anybody that's aware of William Branham's ministry has actually tasted of the good word of God and they've tasted of the powers of the world to come, the millennial power. They've tasted of it, but if they don't have the Holy Ghost, they can fall away. That's what he's saying. Now, Hebrews 10 here only gives a judgment for that. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, though worthy, who has trodden the blood of Jesus Christ and counted it an unworthy thing that they were sanctified by. Now, to put these two together, to make the question for you, let's just take a scripture and a person in the Bible that did this. And then we can find. Now, all the church today is the antitype of the type. We know that. There's a type and an antitype. Now, when Israel was on their journey from Egypt, going into the Palestine, was a type of the church in the spiritual today on its journey to the promised land. You all agree with that, don't you? All the theologians agree with that. That was the type. They left Egypt. Egypt was the world. They come out, went through the waters of separation at the Red Sea, through baptism, come out on the other side rejoicing and praising God, got the laws, and then from there on to the promised land. Well, did you notice just before they got to the promised land? See, before they were to enter into the promised land, which would only have been just a few days, 10, 11 days or so, maybe not that much, because it was only 40-something miles, they would have went right on into the promised land. They'd have come right up through the year, every stage of the journey that we walked, and they come over across over the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was drowned behind them. They were free from their enemy, started through the wilderness. You see, they were free from their enemy. I love the way it all ties together. And got to the edge of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, and there they failed. Why? Why did they fail? Now, Moses said to the 10 tribes, he said, he'll send a man out of each tribe to represent each tribe, go to spy out the land and see what kind of condition it was. Now, if that isn't exactly up to your place this morning when you come, today you, the church, has come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through the Methodists, and up, and now up to the time of the promise. The promise is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise all through the Old Testament and New. See, promise. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. Peter said that on the day of Pentecost, that is the promise. The promised land is to live in this land of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, it's not just, oh, he'll send the Holy Ghost, and that's over. No, it's a beginning. They didn't just get up to the promised land, then all just die off. It's a beginning. It's a new life. You see? Now remember the promise, you shall receive the power from on high after this Holy Ghost come upon you. And Peter said the promise that was made all down through the Old Testament, he said, you find promises up to the day of Pentecost, and then they entered into the promise. Now, those people had come out and had seen great signs and wonders in Israel. And then he sent some men out to spy out, one out of each tribe, and some of them came back. Well, some of them wouldn't go over. Two went over. Then they come out back, and they had a bunch of grapes that two men would pack, and now they had never tasted grapes. They were in the wilderness, and therefore in that place was no place of fruit and stuff. They was fed from manna, bread from heaven, and quails, and life and wildlife, and that was what they fed upon. Now they were going over into the land, and they had a bunch of grapes that were so big that it took two men to pack these grapes. And these two men, went over into the land and had come back and give every one of them, others on the bank, a taste of these grapes. What did they do? When they went back, instead of rejoicing because they had a taste of the grapes, instead of that, they went back to their tribes and they said, oh, but we have seen the great walled-in cities of the Philistines and the Hittites and the Perizzites, and they and all the different ites over there, and why, said, they're giants. Why, we look like grasshoppers upside of them. We can't take the land. Why did you ever bring us out here anyway? See, and the Bible said that they all perished in the wilderness, every one of them, they died. What did they do? They were borderline believers. They come up to the real thing and saw the promise and felt that they wasn't able to go over and take the promise. Now, that's exactly what's come today through justification and sanctification. Has trod the blood of Jesus Christ wherewith he was sanctified. It is a sanctified people that come up to the place where they see the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they turn away from it and say, it's fanaticism. We cannot take it. We'd be out of our class. We'd be turned out of our places. We'd be turned out of our church. We cannot do that because it's contrary to our church teaching. Our church teaching. See? Has counted the blood of Jesus Christ that brought him all of this distance right to the ceiling of the promise and then walk away from it. He said it's totally impossible for them to ever be saved. See? Not the ones that had walked over in the promised land. What's he talking about? What's John 14:12 about? It's about the promise of God, the Holy Ghost himself, being effectual in your life. That when you speak, things happen. When you ask God, things happen. He answers your prayer. Yeah. It's about being in that place with the Holy Spirit and walking in the God life. Not just up to the point of receiving, up to the point of walking in it. Now remember, Joshua and Caleb was the only two out of that entire group of 2.5 million, 2.5 million people. It was always quoted 2 million. 2.5, you know there are 2.5 million people in the message today? I remember when I got to 2 million and we saw other quotes, Brother Vance said, well, there's 2 million people. Here it says 2.5 million. 2.5 million people, and that one, that went over into the promised land because they went over in the promised land and got the blessing, come back, and they said, we're able to take it because God said so. And there they stayed. Why? Now, all these people were looking at the circumstances, but Joshua and Caleb was looking to what God said. See, all these people say, well, I don't see it in anybody. I saw it in William Branham, so apparently William Branham was the only person that had John 14:12. I have news for you. I've seen John 14:12 in effect. Now, just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean it's not happening to others. And this is where He says, all those people who are looking at circumstances, oh, it's not happening to me, so therefore it can't happen to somebody else. But Joshua and Caleb was looking to what God said. And Jesus, didn't he say, these signs shall follow them that believe? Didn't Jesus say, the things that I do, you shall do also? I have given you the land, go get it. And that's today the people say, oh, if I be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if I receive the Holy Ghost, if I would speak in tongues or prophesy, or if I should testify or shout in my church, they would put me out. Go right ahead. Well, if I tell them I believe John 14:12 and I've seen it in action in my life, they'll put me out of church. But I'm going to do it anyway. You say, well, but I'll tell you right now, I live a Christian life. I live a good, clean, sanctified life. That's true. But you come to the showdown, come to the place of borderline, and if you turn away from that, then it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. See? In other words, a man comes through sanctification. He goes and says, I believe, I want to preach the word. He gets saved. He said, I'm tired of sin. All right. Then he goes out, and first he still smokes, and maybe he even lusts or something. But after a while, he says, God, this is not becoming to a Christian, especially a minister, to look upon a woman in the wrong way, to smoke cigarettes, or I do take a social drink of beer with the fellows, and even my congregation, but it don't seem right. Sanctify me, Lord. And then the Lord sanctifies him, takes all the lust away from him, everything. Then he's a sanctified vessel. Then what God presents to him is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To do that, he has to come out of that bunch that he's with. There's where he shows his colors. Then he backs down. What does he do when he backs down? He tramps the blood of Jesus Christ that sanctified him as though it was an unholy thing, not able to take him over, over there. Then it's impossible for him to be saved. Then what does he do? But on the fiery indignation on the judgment, I hope that's clear. If it isn't, why, you just let me know. We'll get another time. So, what word is your borderline this morning? Is it the doctrine of Christ's parousia that Jesus preached that it would come? And Paul preached that it would come? And Peter preached that it would come? And John preached that it would come? And James preached that it would come? But because William Graham never used the Greek word parousia, you refuse to even look at it, though he used the equivalent English word presence more than 4,400 times in only 1,200 sermons. And he used other words like appearing before the coming and he's here and all these other things about another 5,000 times. So it's about 9,700 is what I came up with one time. Right? That's like 7 or 8 times every sermon. He said, he is here. He's in my ministry. Declare that he's here. Is that your borderline? Or is there a borderline the doctrine of Christ and you refuse to believe that there is a difference between God and His Son? Then when you turn that down, you must crucify to yourself the effects of the Son of God in your own life. The revelation of the Son of God in your own life. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. You know what? But it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And so the effects of the revelation that the Son of God had, that He's the Son of God, and Paul looked. No, just look. Jesus was the first one to come along and say, I am a son of God. I'm the son of God. And then Jesus came back to Paul in the form of the pillar of fire. That was the Father. Not Paul off his high horse. Revealed that, hey, I'm the same Jesus that you're crucifying. Paul, oh. Paul went 3.5 years studying in the wilderness. When he came back, he said, I'm a son of God. And the same thing followed him that followed Jesus. Paul had the revelation, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living, but it is not me that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the revelation I'm living by now, or the life I'm living now, is by the revelation, the same revelation the Son of God had. I'm a son of God. What's your revelation this morning? Are you a son of God? Or churchgoer? Is your borderline the doctrine of Christ, and you refuse to believe that there's a difference between Father and Son? Is a borderline test, John 14:12, that God's firstborn Son, Jesus, promised that you would receive it if you had the same Spirit living in you that lived in Him, and you believed what He said concerning the life in you and was for you? Is that your borderline test, brothers and sisters, when Jesus lived it and preached it, and John lived it and preached it, and Paul lived it and preached it, and Peter lived it and preached it, and James lived it and preached it, and Jude lived it and preached it, and Irenaeus lived it and preached it, and Martin lived it and preached it, and Columba lived it and preached it, and Polycarp lived it and preached it, St. Patrick lived it and preached it, John Wesley lived it and preached it, Martin Luther lived it and preached it, William Branham lived it and preached it. And so you say, well, I guess it's good for them, but not for me. Is that your borderline? The giants are too big? This flesh is too strong? Or have you died? Because Brother Branham said, all you have to do, brother, is just die. And let him live. Is that your borderline test, my brother or sister? We're talking about the true mind knows and understands the word, and to others it is just a guess so and not so. So they guess that the manifested sons is going to be in the money. And we read quotes to you where Brother Brown said, what do you need it for then? It's for right now. Now your sons of God. Now back to 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Well, what things? What about adoption? What about the placing of sons? What about being conformed to the image of the firstborn son? How about manifesting as a son of God? How about living and preaching? John 14:12. Living and preaching. For God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man is a sinner. Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. That means it's impossible for him to know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, we're spiritually, it means you're spiritful. It is discerned by those who are spiritual, spirit-filled. And spiritually discerned means you take the Spirit of God in you to know and discern the things of God. Now, what about what about this promise? William Brown said in a sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed, this is where I wanted to get to this morning. Paragraph 175. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he's seen the Father. He's seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride. He shows her his words. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah here. Now, here's the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has us say the Lord, then it is germinized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it grows and serves his purpose. Now, they do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill, as he did complete in his day, all things when he was here. He did not complete all things when he was here, for it was not yet time. I'd love some time, if we had the time, to, you know, I preached 268 sermons out of the Spoken Words Original Seed. I think if I went back again, I'd have a lot more to see. I would see a lot more, because it was gradual to us. Now, this was a climax, 175. He preached 200 some sermons, or paragraphs. But this was a climax of this sermon. We're going to go back in just a few minutes to see how he built up to that. I want you to see it. But do you believe that promise, little bride, what he's saying? That's no different than John 14:12. Don't let anyone rob you of that promise like the people were robbed of entering into the promised land in Joshua's day or Caleb's day. Stand like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he that is spiritual, he that is spirit-filled, judges all things. Now, how do you judge all things? You give it the word test. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so Brother Bram said concerning this from his sermon, Key to the Door, is it not? When he went away, he said, it's expedient for me that I go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Ghost will not come. See, then when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and teach righteousness, right wisdom, and show you things to come. That's vision. He'll take the things that I've taught you and reveal them to you. The very words that he's come, no man can understand the word outside of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when a man says he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the word being right, there's something wrong. Now, I don't say these people are not Christians. I just say there's something wrong. All right? I don't know about you, but I believe every word in this Bible and every promise to God's elect from this word is for me personally. If he said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, I'm giving every family here the book 800 Promises of God in the Bible. Every one of those promises is for you. Now, either you're going to believe it, or you're not. I believe all of them. And you'd say, well, I believe all of them, but then when it comes to understanding what they are, that's where you're lacking. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not ashamed. That book that Brother Boswith wrote, that will help your understanding to not ever, ever, ever dispute God's word being for you. God made me a promise in Isaiah 50, verse 4 to 10. He said, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as one that is learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pulled off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Now it speaks of his personal presence. "He is near that justifies me." The word justify means vindicated, according to the NIV. "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." So preach his presence and know that when you do, God will be present to vindicate your preaching. That's what he's saying. The problem we have today is that people do not believe the word of God. To them, it's like a parable. They say, well, we don't have to understand it. We just have to believe it. Yet how can they believe what they do not know and understand? Jesus spoke to us and told us that the word to many is like a parable, and he spoke in parables because they were not supposed to know or understand what he said. In John 13:10, we read, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." They're not supposed to know. "For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted." Now, how do you see with your eyes? What are the eyes? It's the prophets. They close their eyes to the prophets, lest they should see. Lest they should, Brother Brad said, lest they should understand. Alright? "But blessed are your eyes, for they shall see, they shall perceive, and your ears, for they shall understand. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." Again, we see in Mark the same thing. Jesus tells the same basic story in Mark 4:10. "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, those on the outside, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they hear, but they shall not understand. Lest at any time they should see, be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he saith unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they which by the wayside, where the word was sown, but when they heard the word, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but having no root in themselves, and so they endure for but a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended." In other words, these are people that go to church, they hear a tape, Brother Branham, or they hear some preacher preach, and they just go back, and they don't think about it, they don't study it, they just kind of let it go over, and then the next week, they come back, and they get another dose of they're pleased to hear the word of God, but they don't take it into their heart. There's no root there. There's no study. There's no effort on their part. They take it for granted. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in chokes the word and becoming unfruitful." Now, Brother Bell told me, this was the one that Brother Branham was afraid for the people in the midst. The cares of this life would overcome them. "Now, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. In other words, there is a manifestation of what they hear. Okay, the seed, the life that's in the seed is a manifestation of it. They've opened that word up, and the life has come out. And once more we see this story, again, told by Jesus in Luke 8 and 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and he sowed some, fell by the wayside, some was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon rock, and as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, he that hath ears to understand, let him hear, let him understand. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might the parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see and not see, they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They that are on rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares of this, and riches and pleasures of their life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it. And you know what? They allow themselves to rot. And so the very life that's in that seed, Brother Graham said, it's got to rot until all the fleshly nature of the outer crust of that seed is gone and the life is released. People come to church and they go home. They come to church and go home. Then they wonder why they struggle in life. Instead of coming to church to get the food that's going to take them through the week so they can study it and study it and study it. You don't just eat once a week, do you? You eat every day, sometimes three times a day. You eat to nourish your body. You got to eat, brother, sister, spiritually. You got to take these things that are being taught to you and study them out. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel and putteth it under a bed or setteth it by a candlestick. But they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything that is hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how that you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whatsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. Now, we spent much time this morning showing you the two vines, those who will know the word and those who will understand it, versus those who will not know the word and thus they will not understand it. And by their fruits you will know them. Now, let's review again John 8:38 to 39. He said, I speak that which I have seen in my Father. You do that which you've seen with your Father. Okay, if you're Abraham's seed, you do the works of Abraham. Then they say, well, why do you not understand my speech? This is Jesus saying, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear. You cannot understand my word. He then tells them, you're of your father, the devil, and he goes on. Now, I'm going to go to the spoken word's original seed. I want you to follow with me through this, because this is very important for us to understand. Remember, it's culminated in 175, where Brother Branham said, now here's the secret. The word is in the bride, and they have the Spirit of God to know what to do with the word. Now, he says, all right. The others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit. He's talking about the same parable we just read. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to him to hear, let him hear. Oh, what a parable. How could like to preach on that text, on that now, a sermon. When he said these things, others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he screamed out something maybe like this. When he said, bring forth a hundredfold. He that hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, if your ear's in tune with God, let him hear. See, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries. See what he's talking about there here. Now watch. What is the mysteries of the kingdom? Now watch. Mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see and might not see, and hearing they might not understand. See, but God's word comes right down to the judgment to judge them, because they did see and it was there. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Now, what is the seed of life? The word of God. Therefore, for life, you can't come through a creed, you can't come through a denomination, you got to come back to the word. Now, the seed of life, all right now, his word is his seed, and his spirit is the water. Now, Jesus said, Jesus is the word of God, and he was bursted open, that life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over, the spirit over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. Now, and to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of life some other kind of seed there then. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the Spirit, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That clear produce the life of the seed, for that's what it is for. In other words, if you truly have the Holy Ghost, which is the water, it will water the seed of God in you, and it will produce Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I hope that you're getting what I'm trying to say this morning. They hear the word of life, but they don't understand that it is the word of life, and so to them it is just words that they hear. And so they do not open it and do not let the life come into them. The whole parable is about the word as a seed. It is a life. And yet to them they hear and they don't hear, they see and they don't see, because life is invisible and it cannot be seen. The attributes and characteristics of the life can be seen, but the life itself is spirit and is invisible. Therefore, they are not coming to the word that they might have life. They are coming to the church to fulfill a moral obligation. Now, I hope and trust that your motive in coming to church is to have more of that life of Christ released from his word so that you might receive it into your hearts. Because if you come for any other reason than to receive the life of the word, you are hearing but not understanding. Now, let's continue. Now, that's why Jesus was so perfectly manifested. God was so perfectly manifested in Jesus because he was the Word of God. He was God's Word. That's the reason he couldn't produce nothing but just exactly God. And if God is in you, what more can you be? Didn't Jesus say the prophets who the Word of God came to? Who did the Word of God come to? The prophets? Didn't Jesus call them gods? Why? God was manifested in them. What was it? The spoken word manifested. See, that's it. Said, how can you deny? Say, well, if you had any wisdom, you'd understand. He said, how can you say we called God himself called them gods? And said, how can you say then say to believe them and deny me when I say I'm a son of God? Why didn't they see this then? All of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Spirit. Of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken Word again, like in John 3. See, to be born of the water and of the Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason of Christ's death. Brings us right back again to where? Sons of God. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over here to play the part of the harlot, or the whore. Now, this brings you right back to the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. We, he said we. See, Jesus said the same thing. He that believeth on me, the things that, who I am, what I came for, and the purpose I do to bring a man back to believe the word of God and take nothing else with it, the works that I do, he will do also. There you are. Now listen, he's talking here of John 14:12. Then he says, why is it not being done today? Because it's hybrid, bastard, children mixed up. It's a mule. It don't know what it believes. A mule don't know who his daddy is, who his mama is. He's no pedigree. There's nothing to him. He's an illegitimate creature. That's the way any person that claims to believe God and don't believe his word will take a denomination. They'll take a denominational creed and breed it with the word. See, you're not of God. You're dead. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So even the word of God don't even grow. You're just playing the part of the hypocrite. Let it go for bishop, for priest, cardinal, whoever it might be. That's right. It's got to be the word or you're dead. Just an illegitimate child. And God's word. God part, it won't grow. You might grow in some field as we're getting to the directly, but you're sure not in the fold. It won't grow. Now listen, Brother Branham is speaking of John 14:12, and hear how the people miss it. Verse 87. All right. We know to see. Then, see, the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. And it says we. See, the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? See, it can't be done. How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says this, days of miracles. How are you going to do that and then be a manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my savior. No, you don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works proves what you are. You see, if you say, I'm a believer, then you should be doing the works that Jesus did. And God will direct you to do them. Your works prove what you are. Jesus said the same thing. If you think that I am illegitimately born, they said, well, we're Abraham's seed and need nobody to teach us. Said, well, if you were Abraham's children, you'd know me. See? Said, which of you can condemn me of sin? Unbelief. Show me one thing that God promised to me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them. See? Certainly. Said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me of sin, of unbelief? See? If I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing every word that he promised? Now, let me see where you got it in yours. Well, I'll just make this statement. I don't say this to boast. But I've seen more of John 14:12, and I've seen more of the miracles of God in my ministry than I know of any man living today. Any man living. That wasn't a cry compared to what Brother Brown had. He had a greater works. But I've seen too much of it to say it's not true. Now, who was illegitimately born then? They were. Illegitimate children professing to be God's. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you do. What kind of works did the devil do? Try to hybrid the word of God through Eve. That's exactly the same thing that these denominations do today. The works of the devil, their father, they do. They're trying to take a creed and breed it with the word of God. That's what Satan done in the beginning, the father of the devil. God bless you, brethren. Come out of it. Jesus said, you've got one little scratch of God in you. You ought to look and see that. Hybrid. Oh, my. Then he comes on and says, the works that Jesus did. If a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed. His death brings you right back to the original seed of God. And if that same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. There you go. You don't believe that? All right, well, let's turn over to St. John 14:12. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Brown. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God would call you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say of you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. Well, what is it? It's the same seed. How can you plant wheat here and wheat over here, and then say, I'm going to get cucumbers over here and wheat over here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. If you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber, it'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. See? You've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't a cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it is a bad product, and it's dead in itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there. Back won't go any further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it, and if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. Remember I preached that sermon series on the garden of your mind? If the Word of God was planted in your mind, it's going to produce the Word of God. See? Then now, where's your latter rain coming up at? You see, where's that going after a while, don't you? Going over with them wild gourds that Elijah got and thought that they were gourds, or them school of prophets up there in the denomination they had. Gathered some wild gourds and they thought that they were peas? Oh, well. Then the works will be manifested in him are the same. For it is the same seed, Word of God. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will... That same watery Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will bring forth the same kind of a life, doing the same things that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God's seed. Now, shame on you women with bob hair. Shame on you preachers denying that truth. Say it's all right, hair has nothing to do with it. But God said that it did. You see where it's at? That's why I believe the Word. It's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do we do? Make a million more in 44, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever more, Pentecostal. But where is that manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? I do nothing till I see the Father show me first. Where is that kind of a seed coming from? The Holy Ghost will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water is for. If the water falls on you, you say, well, bless God, let me tell you something, preacher. I'm so-and-so, and I don't believe in all that stuff. Then you're the denomination. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's what kind of a seed was planted. So in closing, let's just one more time look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The talk of John 14:12 is foolishness to them. The talk of being conformed to the image of the firstborn son is foolishness to them. The talk of being manifested son of God is foolishness to them. The talk of being adopted is foolishness to them. For they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now let's just read one more quote from God's prophet concerning this. In a sermon, Blasphemous Names, Brother Branham tells us of a vision that he had. And he says, oh, I wish that I could remember what I was saying, what my text was. I can't think of it. See? But I was just preaching away, and I was just watching myself doing it. And then when I was standing there looking and watching myself preach, and I was just preaching to who wouldn't have it, and after a bit, I raised up, you know, and I thought, glory to God. And I said, look at these wonderful things and this, that. And directly, I noticed the people begin to get like they was physically hungry. And so they had enough spiritual, so they started walking away. And some of them, Brother Branham gone, you know, started walking away. And I thought, what's the matter with these people? What's the matter with everybody? And I looked, and here were some young couples going along to my side. And I stopped and I said, just a minute, friends, just a minute. You'll be back again when the evening shadows fall. See? I said, you'll be back again, but let me give you this first climax. Where does all these things come from that I've showed you? Where are they from? And I said, here they are. They are in the Word of God. They are thus, saith the Lord, His promise. Because I said, all you bear me record, witness this, that my commission is to stay with the Word. And I said, what's the matter with all of you? Can't you understand the Word? You must understand. So what did he see? Did he see the condition of the people today? Next to me, Brother Brown, but I'm hungry. I've got other things in my mind. Why? Because they don't understand it. But he said, you must understand. You women in here that are nurses, you must understand what you're doing or you can kill somebody. What about your own life? You must understand the Word of God, or you can be deceived. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It behooves you to study this Word, not just, well, that's a nice sermon. Listen to it. If you got to listen to it over and over and over until it registers home. Until that life and that seed breaks open and the refreshing that comes from that life pouring into your soul. And you'll see John 14:12 in your own life. You'll see it conformed into the image of the Son of God in your own life. You'll see God, life, manifesting in you as a vessel of God. You will see yourself on your way to the adoption of sons. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your Word. Your Word is just so much, it means so much to us, oh God. I just pray that, Father, you'd help us to understand these things. Help us not to be caught up with all the little fusses that go on here and there, but may we just be so focused on your Word that everything else, heaven and earth, will pass away, but not one jot or tittle. Until we come to the place where your Word is, your life is manifesting through our vessels. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Oh.